So this is Abigail Sidebotham interviewing Sarah Rhys-Jones about her memories of the Sea Empress oil spill. We're in the reading room in Manabir, and today's the 1st of October. So Sarah, just going to start off by asking you a bit about biographical background, what you were doing at the time as the Empress, living in Pembrokeshire, just a bit of a biographical background.
Okay, well, I'm from Tenby, and at the time of the Sea Empress disaster, we were living in Culver Park, which is just a street away from the South Beach. And I remember my daughter was three, and I can just remember waking up in the morning and this dreadful thing had happened. And it was just, as the day went on, or as the days went on, it was just the feeling of, there was just silence. There were no seagulls in the air. There was a smell. There were the odd aeroplane flying around. And I just felt, this is how it must have been in the war, you know. What else can I say? And then just going, looking at the harbour, which is just like sludge coming in and going out on the tide. And I can remember thinking, I've just taken all of where I live for granted. You know, the beautiful sea, the cliffs. And at the time, you didn't know if we were ever going to get, if it was ever going to go back to normal. So I just sort of felt, well, like a bereavement, you know, this has happened. Will it ever go back to the way it was? And I can remember having to explain to my daughter, you know, what has happened. And at the time, you didn't know if it was going to go back to it yourself. So then I think that gave me the real jolt that I have taken my surroundings for granted. And when I started doing my art practice, because I changed to textiles, I then concentrated on the cliffs and the cliff surfaces. And I can remember at the time of the Sea Empress, we went camping over to North Pems, and of course they hadn't been so affected. And we had to go to North Pems just to have the normal sea and the, you know, I can remember talking to an old farmer there, and we were explaining to him how bad it was in over our side, you know, and of course it hadn't hit that side so much. I don't know why, you know, probably scientists will never be able to tell you that side of things. But and then, yeah, as I say, it was like a bereavement, and I did feel I'd taken my surroundings for granted. And when I started my art practice and my sketching, I knew I wanted to do the cliffs. And so I've made a series of textile vessels, and they are based on the cliffs, mainly Druidstone, because they have the nice oranges and the nice sort of colours in them. And I think that's all I can tell you, really. It's not very much,
but it's fine.
You know, I am local to Tenby. I have been away and lived in London. But I feel very precious about Tenby. My great-grandfather was coxswain of Tenby Lifeboat. So I feel I come from quite an old Tenby family. That's all I can tell you is my feelings and my experience. And I think it's made me never forget how beautiful an area we live in and not to take it for granted.
So I suppose as an artist myself, doing a project on the Sea Empress,
yeah,
one of the reasons why I'm so interested to talk to you really, is that for me, I'm most interested in, and there's many different angles you can explore a story like the Sea Empress, but for me, I'm most interested in how it really transformed people's sense of place, or what a disaster like that really represents to people, and what changes when something like that happens, you know. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is you know, is that really, is that what, it's almost, I see it as almost, it's almost some, that's, how do I describe this? Pembrokeshire is so beautiful, it's almost the Garden of Eden in a way, and it's when something like that happens, it's almost completely, it's almost like the impossible's happened, you know, you never really think it's going to happen here.
Yeah.
We know that it happens in other places, and pretty much everyone's still happening somewhere in the world at any given time, but you'd never expect something like that to happen here, and it's really interesting to hear that it really made you appreciate where you come from and be inspired enough to make work about it. But
I think at the time you didn't know if we were going to get our, you know, our lovely coastline back, you know, you just didn't know at the time, and all those birds, you know, just glugging around in that oil, it was awful, you know. And I think at the, like I say, at the time, not knowing if it was ever going to come back made me think and really think about my surroundings, and which led me on to take my inspiration for my art from the coast.
Yeah,
but
I'm still working on it today, which is
still
amazing.
Still working on it today.
So, I mean, how do you feel about it now? Then looking back at it 20 years on?
The whole disaster?
Mm.
Well, I don't know enough about the science side of things. I know that you've researched that. I'd like to know more. I'd like to know how, you know, was the operation done? You know, did it run smoothly? Has that sort of thing, excuse me, has that sort of thing happened in different parts of the world? And, you know, I would like to learn more about it, you know. I can't even remember how long the cleanup took. You know, you've probably, with your research, you know all about that. I can't even remember how long it did take.
Mm.
Because it just became part of what was happening at the time.
Mm.
I just remember feeling, well, I'm repeating myself really, but feeling very down about it, and not really knowing if, you know, if we get back to what it used to be like.
How do you think, this is a really difficult question, I mean, how do you think, well, what was the sense that you had of other people's experiences of it around you? I mean, obviously these things happen as part of a community, and it's a shared experience.
I think in a small time you heard all sorts of different things, you know. People would say, oh, you know, these aeroplanes are flying around and they're spraying terrible things in the air, and you're not supposed to breathe it in. You know, they were just rumours, so you never really knew. I did know a couple of people that were involved in the cleanup. One thing I suppose is that it provided work in the area with the cleanup. You know, so I suppose we didn't really know a lot about what was happening, you know, at the time. We didn't know, because my feelings is probably the experts didn't really know. You know, like I said before, had this thing happened before, and did they immediately know how to go in there and clean up, or was it just a progress that they found out as they went along?
Yeah. And do you think it's that, what do you think there's any lasting effects for people, or for yourself? Actually, it's easier to answer for yourself, isn't it? But apart from it continuing to inspire your work or leading towards something that would continue to inspire your art practice, do you think it's changed forever the way you see Pembrokeshire, or the way that you see the petrochemical industry being here, or any of those things?
All I feel is it's made me really appreciate where I live, where I come from, and I did take it for granted, and you just never think it's going to happen, you know, a big tanker out on the sea, spill its load like that, you know, you just you just never think it's going to happen, and when it does, you can't believe that it has happened. You know, it was a simple thing to hit a rock. I think that's what happened. Is that what happened? To hit a rock and then for the oil to just spill out. It was quite a simple thing. And I suppose it makes you think it could happen again, or it could have happened more often. But hopefully, you know, we've all learned things from that happening.
You obviously attribute a lot of importance to environment, to people. I think you talked about yourself, how connected you felt to Pembrokeshire, and in particular Denby, and you make work which is kind of based on strata in rock formation. But do you think that going beyond something, well, how is it, how is it important to people, do you think? What's the connection between landscape and people? And that is a difficult question. Because that's what I'm exploring at the moment.
Oh, is it? I think some people don't notice it, to be honest. You know? I think more creative people notice it. And I think it's changing, you know. I think, I'm going to sound really old now, but since technology's come along and younger people, I think they're so clued in with this technology and their phones and their iPads or their computers, do they notice their surroundings, you know?
What do you think, Ellen? Go, you can answer that.
Well, you know, having a lot of friends my age, 16, I do agree with you in one sense, that there are a lot of people I know who don't give it the time of day, they don't even think about it, but also, like myself included, there are a lot that focus on it a lot more.
But you're quite creative, aren't you?
Well, I hope so. But yeah, I know, I just think it's amazing, you know, it's not here for us, it's here independently, it was here long before we were, and we're so lucky that we happen to live in a very beautiful, and very, like, it's not all the same, you know, like, we've got beaches, and we've got fields, and we've got lanes, and we've got beautiful houses, and you know, the best of the rain, the best of the sun, well, not the best of the sun recently, but yeah.
So do you think young people notice their surroundings? I know you do, you sound like you do, and you appreciate it.
I'd say the ones I know possibly more, but most of them, I'm not gonna lie, no. I don't think so as much, and I do agree with you. It probably does have a lot to do with the increase in
technology.
Technology, unfortunately. You're right.
And I hope it doesn't always stay that way. I mean, I've got a daughter of 23, and growing up in Tenby, you were just go down the beach, rain or shine, you'd go on the beach. I mean, my daughter wouldn't think of doing that, you know. She'd, when she was a teenager, she'd be in her bedroom on her electronics. And I'd say, it's a beautiful day, you know, just go out and enjoy it. But I think she appreciates it more as she's got a little bit older. But it's sad. Sorry to interrupt. And also, you know, we are lucky to live here. We can just, you know, go out for some, you know, we don't, where I live now, I don't even have to get in a car to walk to a beach, you know. And you hear young people saying, I'm bored, and they don't appreciate just going for a nice walk across the beach. But then I sound like an old fuddy duddy, don't I?
Yeah, I wonder if it's age, because I can remember only a teenager really 10 years ago, and I definitely definitely appreciated what we have here more as I've got older, and more because I think I've spent periods of time in London and away from it and not having access to it. So I suppose it's sort of maybe it's the same effect as the disaster when it's just taken away from you and you think, you really appreciate what it is that we've got here.
Yeah.
But I think and perhaps a disaster is different in that respect because you notice the you see the devastation that it has on wildlife, which I think is probably one of the biggest impacts.
Yeah. I can remember on the news, you know, seeing all these animals in caked in oil. It was horrendous. Horrendous. But as far as I know, I think they saved a lot. Yeah.
Did you see any of that? Any of the sort of cleaning up operation? Were you sort of you live quite near the sea?
I've moved a little bit to the edge of Tenby now, but yeah, you could look over and see them brushing it in the harbour and things like that. I didn't really sort of go down and talk to people that were cleaning up, you know. But I can remember seeing on the news the birds and the silence was really strange because you take for granted the seagulls and the birds' noises and the silence was just so strange.
A few people have talked about that lack of sound, the sea not making a sound. And they were the first person to mention the birds, but of course there wouldn't be so many birds around. I think they stayed away, a lot of the birds that could, and then so many were affected by the oil as well. But actually in a few weeks we've got a field sound recordist coming, a man who's really involved in environment and sounds, and how he's interested in how we process sounds and how we make sense of where we are because of the sounds that we hear. And he's going to come and record sounds around Pembrokeshire with Mick Brown.
Yes, I know Mick.
And then they're going to present the sounds here to an audience, and Mick's going to expand on the sounds in a sort of informative way about where they came from. And because sounds is particular to a place, you don't think about sound until it's gone, perhaps.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought that would be quite interesting.
Yes, sound it would be.
That's my last question.
Okay.
How do you feel about Is the Empress Now 20 years on, looking back on it in reflection?
How do I feel about it? Well, obviously I wish it had never happened. I hope that things have been put in place to stop it happening. I don't know enough about statistics and what was ruined and are things growing back again. And hopefully, you know, I'm going to learn through your project more about that. So maybe I'll have more to say when I've learnt a little bit more myself.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
That was great. Three-way interview that happened then. Perfect. Thank you.